gotta be funny? Okay. It's fine. I'm currently dying, so.
Oh, my Lord. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where today, I was just a little bit dramatic. I'm just kind of dying, but it's fine.
She's like a sick man over here.
I was channeling my inner man.
I'm Mandy of Castaway Key.
And I'm Karen from the Grits Restaurant.
Hey, do you know what grits means here?
I know what grits are.
Girls raised in the South.
Oh, I was like, what? Well, welcome back to the podcast, friends. I guess we're just going to go right into it. I'm like, what do I usually say here? I don't know.
I don't know.
In our timeline, it is September 30th, which you will notice is not a Thursday because my brother is getting married this week. So we needed to record a little early.
Yeah.
And in y'all's timeline, he will already be married and it is October 10th. Things are weird.
That's crazy. I'm probably throwing up because my book's coming out in 3 days.
Yeah, right?
It's freaking me out.
That's so exciting. Love it. All right. This week in fangirling, what'd you do?
I went on a Disney cruise.
I know, you bitch.
I'm the worst. You'll notice I said I'm from Castaway Key. I did not go to Castaway Key, but more on that in a minute. So my niece got 4 surprises back to back. Her little brain, I don't know how she handled it. So first surprise, she had no idea this cruise was happening.
Oh,
up to the day of. So she got in the car after school and her mom said, hey, your dad has to go on a work trip, but it's near the beach. So we're going to go with him and we'll just visit the beach. So they go to a hotel near the ocean. The next morning at breakfast, they go down to the hotel lobby for the continental breakfast. And who's sitting there but her Mimi and her Boog and her twins? Oh, wait. Back up. They get to the hotel. They wake up the next morning. They say, hey, Mickey Mouse is on the phone. He wants to tell you you're going on a cruise. So that happens. Then breakfast with Mimi, where Mimi says, hey, actually, I'm going on the cruise with you. So I had to throw her off the scent. So we FaceTime or we make a video and we tell my mom, like, we're going on a cruise. Loser. Sorry. We get to the port, the cruise terminal. Gigi and Papa are there. Her whole family is going with her on this cruise.
How did she survive, sweet baby?
It was so, every time she would go, really? Really?
Oh, I love her.
She was so excited. So, yeah, it was great. There's 3 restaurants on the boat, plus like a buffet. There's Animator's Palette, which is my favorite. So it's like all artsy and cartoons, and there's a whole little show where the paintings on the wall come to life and Mickey comes out. Blew my nephew's mind. He will be 2 a week after you're hearing this on the 17th. And so he says Mick is who that is. So he would just Mick like, what the fuck? Mick is here. So that was great. Then there was Rapunzel's Royal Table, which we ate at twice because that was our rotation, where they do a whole show and Rapunzel comes out and Flynn Rider. And there's like German food. Then the next night was at Rapunzel's, but it was pirate food. So it was it was pirate night. So it was Caribbean food. It was delicious. And then Lumiere's was the last night. So it was French food and Beauty and the Beast themed. We had stops in Nassau where Josh and the twins and I, if it was just Josh and I, we would never have gotten off the boat because I've seen Nassau. This will be my 3rd time. It's 3 too many. No offense to the Bahamian people. No offense to anybody who lives in or loves Nassau. It's not my cup of tea. There's just people everywhere. Everybody wants to sell you something. It's bad. But the twins wanted to get off, so we get off, and there is a pretty much a scammer, but we were fine. Selling you like a whole day excursion, but we got to go to Pig Island, which is where like you feed pigs in Bahamian seawater, which was a cool experience. We were supposed to be able to go snorkeling, but one of the twins got sick. She got seasick, and so we had to rush back
Aww.
to land for a little bit. It was the small boat that messed her up, whereas the big boat was what messed me up. It was really rough. It was a really rough time. Then the next day we went to Lookout Key. It was so annoying. Okay. There's like a 15-minute pier walk thing, which would be fine if there was shade or places to stop or fluids provided. No, they put you off the boat in direct sunlight and make you walk unless you have like a need. You know, like my sister is pregnant. She got to ride in a golf cart out there, with nothing. So it's super long. And then you get on a tram for 15 minutes.
Oh my
There's
God.
no signs. It's like a maze, but they don't tell you how to get to anything. They just kind of dump you out and they're like, here is Lookout Key or Lookout Point. And it's like, where am I going though?
Oh,
At
interesting.
Castaway Key, which we've been to twice, they have this cove that they've kind of built rock walls around so that waves are not super harsh. They've staged shipwrecks. So, like, you can snorkel around a nautilus from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's like a old, it looks like what would have been part of a pirate ship that has like a Minnie Mouse mermaid on the hull in the sand, like underwater. Lookout Key had none of that. The weather was terrible, which they can't control. So Josh got seasick trying to snorkel around nothing because there was nothing to snorkel around. It was just water and sand and like a little tiny reef that didn't have anything on it. So we were pissed. And we're sitting at lunch. They had okay food at the island. We hear like the lifeguards blowing their whistles and we're like, oh, hope everybody's okay. Turns out it's my sister. She's gotten so hot and there's no shade. And so my pregnant sister fainted.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she said she could feel it coming on. And so she was trying because she was at the like edge of the splash pad because my niece and nephew were in it. And my brother-in-law, I guess, was up like they had like a little water slide. So I think he was up with my niece. She could feel it coming on. So she was trying to get to shade, which there was none, somewhere to sit down, there was nothing. She finally said she knew she was going to pass out, so she ran over to the bushes and held her stomach so that she could fall backwards into something that would catch her. I will say their medical response was great. There were immediately were lifeguards and Disney employees and like good people, good Samaritans who were like, I'm a nurse. Traumatized my niece for sure. When we passed my brother-in-law, we were going into one of the shops. We were about to leave, and he was like, "She just passed out." So we were able to go get my niece and try to comfort her and get her away from the situation. But she told me later that there was a lady who was pouring water on mommy's legs, and somebody else was holding mommy's wrist with their fingers, so getting a pulse. And so, you know, good people. It was nice to hear that good people. And then one lady, my sister said she would never have taken them up on it because stranger danger. But the woman was like, do you have any family here? I could, like, do you want me to watch your children while you know, go, like, if you need to get to the medical facility, like, I'll bring your kids to you. And she's like, I would never, like, I don't know you, but the thought was nice. Anyways, not a fan of Lookout. My mom and Josh want to write like strongly worded letters about how bad that situation was. Just because if you're going to have any kind of like, this is our private sanctuary, make it a little hospitable. Make it a little bit like people aren't fainting. But we got back on the boat. We had pirate night where everybody dressed up like pirates, except Josh. My mom and stepdad and Joshua because they think they're too cool. Then we had masquerade party, which was the Halloween night where we all dressed up in costumes. My niece was a little hippie 70s girl. My nephew was an astronaut. One of the twins was Sully from Monsters, Inc., and the other was a fairy. I was Belle.
Of course.
Of course, I was last, I recycled last year's costume. And they had, like, you could go trick or treat in the different restaurants and, like, different areas
Cute.
that they had. One cool thing that I didn't even know existed, they had edible straws if you bought any drinks, like, on the boat.
Oh.
Yeah, they were like, I guess, kind of like the consistency of like a sweet tart, but a straw. And
Okay.
they would be like, this one's lime flavored, this one's lemon, this one's strawberry. It was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Now
So
I want
I
one.
ate a lot of those, bought a lot of merch. There were characters all over the place, of course. I brought all of the kids and then like each family photo mats that they could have like characters sign, and then you put a photo of your cruise
How
from your cruise in it.
cute.
We did that on our first Disney cruise, and we still have the photo like on the wall in our bedroom, with us and Goofy. But so my niece got to go get everything signed, and she was with my mom for a few hours. And I met up with them, and I was like, "What, you know, what characters are we trying to see? What's going on?" And she was like, "There's some sports star down there. It's Captain America." She just so casually, she's like, "There's some sports star down there." The only one I would be more disappointed that you don't recognize, just from like a cultural standpoint, was if it was like Spider-Man. But like, I don't even like Captain America, but everybody knows who Captain America is.
Honestly, I was about to say, it sounds like you come about your Captain America hate, honestly.
I mean, yeah. Hers is not even hate, it's
It's just,
indifference. She's
yeah.
like some sports star. I can't.
My God, that's so funny.
Yeah. So we gorged ourselves on all the food. There were like every night there's like a Broadway level show. So the first one was like Rapunzel, Tangled. We didn't go to the second night. I don't remember what we were doing, or the third. And then the fourth night they did like some Wish Upon a Dream or something like that, which is like a hodgepodge of all of the different, not all, but a lot of the different beloved Disney movies and songs. So that was really cool. It was a good time. It went by so fast. And so it's kind of surreal. And it was so rocky. And normally I'm not a motion sick person up until very recently. I've been off the boat for 3 days, and I still, if I sit still, I still feel like I'm doing this. So I've been like having to take antivert still. But yeah, it was a good time. And then when we got off the boat, my group, me, so me, Josh, and the twins drove into Orlando, and we went to City Walk at Universal and walked around there for a little bit, and then went to Cowfish and got cheeseburger Rushi for lunch. Before we came home, because we wanted to kind of prolong the trip a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was fun. On the way home, I drove a lot of the trip, and I turned on Wild Reverence by Rebecca Ross. And as I pulled into my driveway, I finished the audiobook. Like, it was the craziest thing. I've spent like 3 weeks talking about the plot, so I'm not going to do that again, but I finished it. It was beautiful. And you get, in the epilogue, you get the story of how the typewriters in Divine Rivals get their magic. So it was like a cutesy little,
I love it.
yeah. Because like, I found myself like 90% in. I was like, actually thought about the typewriters, even though they don't come up. And I was thinking, like, I wonder, like, does it? I can't remember if it ever says what made the typewriters connected, or like what gave them their magic. And then lo and behold, so it
Love
was
it.
really good. I started The Crimson Throne by Sarah Roche and Beth Revis, more on that later. And then I have some Living in the Dead updates. We have a hardcover. This
Yay.
is just a test pressing, obviously, but yeah, I put them on my website because it looks good. It looks good. The paperbacks shipped today. So I have five boxes on the way to me. I ordered, I think, 120. So in the next few days, I will receive a shipment of my books. And for us, we're less than 2 weeks from launch. For you, you're 3 days from launch. Blech, I'm scared. I took the day off.
As you should.
So, yeah.
Yay! Very exciting.
Lots of exciting things happening over here. I did take the paperback to the Bahamas with me and it got a little wet, but that's okay. They wanted to go. They wanted to go to the Bahamas. Come on. They wanted to see the ocean.
Valid.
And that was my week. What did you do this week?
I read a few books. I didn't take any notes, so we're gonna see how this
Uh-oh.
goes. I read The Entanglement of Rival Wizards by Sarah Roche. You have two wizards who are part of two different departments at like the school. So they're kind of like academic rivals. And they both sign up for a grant and in order to foster like cooperation between these two like rival departments, both of them receive the grant and they have to work on a project together.
Oh
And
no.
so it's like forced proximity, academic rivals to lovers, and it's so good. I loved it so much. There's a lot more to the plot, but that's all I can remember off the top of my
Yeah,
head.
hey, that's fine.
You have All the Way Around the Sun by CC Tien. This follows Stella, who, after her brother unexpectedly passes of an overdose at while at college, her parents, who are immigrants, decide that they are going to pack up their whole lives and move out of the Midwest to Southern California in order to get a fresh start because they can't. We don't talk about our feelings, okay? It just
Right.
doesn't happen. And so instead of talking about their feelings, they just move. And so, for reasons that her parents have to go back to China, for her grandmother, and she's left in the US. She's in her senior year, and she is sent on this like college ro visit road trip with her like a childhood friend who they had a falling out when they were younger, and now they're like reconnected because he had moved away, and it turns out they're now living in the same place and going to the same school. And so, and her, their parents are friends, and so now they're going on this like college road trip together to kind of see where she wants to go to college, even though she's like, I don't know that I want to go to college because she has this kind of like fear of it now because she's like, well, my brother went to college and he ended up dead. And like, obviously, that's not logical, but grief isn't logical.
Right.
And so it is kind of an exploration of grief and the communication or like breakdown of communication in like diaspora families when it comes to like feeling your feelings. And also like a little bit of a second chance romance between her and this
Oh.
childhood friend. And it is so fantastic. I loved it so much. And it was like achingly romantic. Like
Oh.
it wasn't like super duper romance heavy, but it was like just the romance beats that you could pull out of it were so good. And you know, I'm a romance girly, so it was everything.
Yeah.
So it was fantastic. I read House of Bane and Blood by Alexis L. It's spelled like Menard, but the audiobook pronounced it Maynard, so I don't actually know.
Oh.
So we're gonna go with Maynard because that's what they said in the audiobook. So you have a girl who is like the heir to her family's, I think it's like railroad, like fortune. Her dad has passed, and in order for her family to their the business is not going well. And in order for them to get an injection of like money and funds for them to keep this business running, she enters into an arranged marriage. Now, at the beginning of the book, she's supposed to marry this one person and he's like super like awful. He's a terrible person. But before like they actually sign the paperwork to enter into this marriage, the night before, she goes out drinking and is like last night of, freedom kind of thing, and runs into this guy who they have a bit of a moment. And then she's like, okay, they go their separate ways. He shows up the next day and stops them from like signing the arranged
Oh
marriage.
my
And it
God.
turns out he's like the heir of her like family's rival family. And he's like, actually, we'll give you more if you do it with me instead. And it was a bonus for him that they had chemistry, but she's like, now that she knows who he is, she's like, I hate you. And he's
Yeah.
like, well, too bad. We're doing this. And so they enter into like this arranged marriage of convenience, but they also like enter into this agreement to find, because there's something hunting down, I forget what they were called, but there are these people who have like certain magical abilities, and they're being hunted down
Okay.
by somebody called the Collector. And so he's asking her, hey, we can work together, pool our resources to try and find this guy, and once we do this and XYZ, then we can go our separate ways. I'll still give you the money. You can protect your family. And the twist in this book, like, I was not expecting some of the things that happened. I was convinced at the beginning that this was gonna happen, and then by the end I was like, what the fuck? And the way it ends is so cliffhangery, and so I'm like, I need the second book. So I think I have it on my Libby, so I'm gonna listen to it soon, but like, it's very cliffhangery. It's really good. The sexual tension and just like, I hate you kind of feel of them, it's so good. But he is so very clearly obsessed with her, and he's like refuses to acknowledge it. So he's very clearly like obsessed with her. He's like, who hurt you? Don't touch my wife, blah blah blah, that kind of mentality. But
Love.
he will not acknowledge the fact that he has feelings for her, and she's straight up just like, I hate him. And she goes and lives with him and his family in their big like family mansion house, and his whole family is like, yeah, they're obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
But they're just waiting, and it's
They
so
just
good.
won't see
It's
it.
so good. It's excellent. I reread Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. It was the book club pick for the romance book club hosted by Wallflower Bookshop, which I have partnered with, and I'm running their like romance book club, so it's really fun. So I don't remember if I talked about Before I Let Go in the past. I know I read it before, but basically you have Yasmin and Josiah who were married. They thought this was endgame. Something tragic happens to them. She goes into a deep depression, and in order for her to pull herself out of it, in order for her to survive, she needed to focus on herself, and so she asked him for a divorce. So they're divorced, they've got two kids, but they are still co-parenting well because they know that's what they have to do in order for their kids. They're still business partners because they run a restaurant together, Grits. And so they're still in each other's lives, and it's basically the story of like how they come back together. It's a very like emotional second chance romance. They're trying to like kind of get over this grief that is still hanging over them. Like, he didn't really ha like address it. He didn't, and he was like refusing to go to therapy, this and that. He thought he could be strong for everybody. She was in a deep depression. She couldn't handle anything. And so they're working through their grief. They're trying to figure out kind of how to come back together as a family, or if they can even do that. And it's so good. Like, Kennedy Ryan is so good at just like jam packing emotions into her romances and like tackling tough topics. And so yeah. And this one, I will say, it's not really a spoiler because it happens in the past. But definitely a trigger warning for a loss of a baby. The tragedy that they go through in the past is that Yasmin had, she had slipped in the restaurant. She had hit her belly while pregnant, and it caused a placental abruption, and the baby was stillborn. And so obviously it's a really heavy topic.
That's
So
hard, yeah.
yeah, and so definitely take care of yourself if you plan on reading this, because it is very tough, but it's also really excellent and great exploration of like grief and healing, and you know, how do you take care of other people when you also are struggling to take care of
Need
yourself?
to be taken care
Yeah.
of.
I read Hopelessly Devoted by Audrey Goldberg Ruoff. This was a book that Katie Naiman had posted about in her Instagram stories and was just like raving about it. And I was like, God damn it, now I have to read it because it sounds really good. And it was really good. You have, I forget the main character's name, but the female main character is like human, and the male main character is a witch, and his parents tragically pass away, and he's during a pandemic-like event. So he's off in college, he's away, he's not able to come back and say goodbye to them before they pass.
Oh.
But she's there, and she decides that because it meant so much to her growing up, that she was going to forget everything that her parents wanted for her because they're awful people, and she's gonna buy his mom's like tea shop, Hopelessly Devoted, and keep it running and keep it going because it meant so much to her growing up. And he comes back, and they were like best friends, and then something happened in the past that caused them to kind of no longer be in contact. And now that they're back, they're having to navigate around the awkwardness of that.
Yeah.
She has the ability to talk to like the recently the deceased by touching an object of theirs, and then they come back, and then once you know the object is gone, it's they can move on. But because she has broken away from her parents, she has this ability because her parents made a deal with a devil, and because she has been disowned by her parents, that debt now falls to her. So now she has to fulfill
Oh shit.
the you know requirements of this deal, and what she's required to do is get three souls, reap three souls for this devil. Luckily, this devil is like, no, they're all bad people, like legitimately bad. And she's like, okay, I guess I can, I'm a,
Yeah,
that's
I'm fine.
better, but that really sucks. But there is a moment where she and the male main character are together, and the devil shows up to like make her reap one of the souls, and the devil gets jealous of like the tension between the two of them because he's trying to flirt with her, and she's very clearly like, well, he's hot, and so he's like upset that they have more tension, like sexual
Oh
tension, than she does
no.
with him, and so he puts a curse on them and basically turns the male main character into one of these objects that when she touches him brings back the ghost of his dead parents, but if she does it again, then he'll die. And so they can't touch Mandy.
Awful, awful, diabolical. Hate it.
And it's did you ever watch Pushing Daisies?
No.
So good. It gives very much Pushing Daisies vibes, and it's so good. The tension is so good, and they literally decide like we're gonna give this a chance, and then they're like things are getting hot and heavy in the car, and then all of a sudden she sees the ghost of his parents, and his like something his hand his coat is on fire or something, and so they jump apart, and his parents are like, yeah, he's become an object. And if you touch him again, he's gonna die. And like right after they had just decided they were gonna try. And so the whole
Oh
book is
no.
them just yearning for each other
Please, that sounds like it was written for me.
while they're in close proximity. Like it's so good. The tension is off the charts. It's phenomenal. I loved it. Highly recommend. Then I read Lore of the Tides by Annalisa Brana, which is the sequel to Lore of the Wilds. So I can't say much, but it's so good. So good.
Yeah.
Read both books. The duology is fantastic. And finally, I read I Wish You Would by Ava DeLaurier. I met Ava at an event at Linden Tree, and we basically became best friends because she was like, I
Hey
need,
now.
not literally, but we were talking like, and what her actual like best friend was there, and we were all talking, and she's also a writer and an author, and we were talking, and I was like, yeah, it's like so easy to pitch other people's books, like books that you love, but like when it comes to your own, what are words?
Scary, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, yes, I hate that. I need somebody to be able to do it. I'm like, it sounds like you need a mom friend. And she was like, yes. I'm like, guess what?
Have
I
I got
am a
news
mom
for
friend.
you?
And so yeah, and I had had her book on my TBR, and so I was like, let me bump it up because I feel like I really need to read it. So, you have these two high school seniors who give me one second. Natalia and Ethan. And Natalia is class president, and at their like private school, they do something called senior sunrise before the senior year starts, where all the seniors go and they like watch the sunrise. She proposed that for this year that they could do it as like a camping trip the night before, and then they see it the next morning. And because she wants to get out of her house, because there's things going on with her parents separating that she doesn't want to be involved with.
Yeah.
So, back up a little bit. The year prior at prom, the two of them had a moment where they almost like went through with a pact where they had decided many years ago, because they were best friends many years ago, they made a pact that if neither of them had, that they would lose their virginity to each other on prom night. And so they almost went through with it, and then they did it, and something kind of broke. And so they haven't talked all summer, and now they're like kind of forced together during the summer camp. And so one of the activities is that everybody has to write like a note, and it goes into a bottle, and then it goes into the fire at the end of after the sunrise to kind of, those were like your hopes, the things that you wish you could do, the brave thing
Yeah.
that you want to do. And so Natalia freaks out, and as everybody's gone, she tries and pulls hers out, and they all scatter. And so her and Ethan's the only one who sees it, and so they spend the whole time trying to get them back together to hide them so nobody finds out, and also while trying to miscommunication in the best way, because it's like they both want each other, but neither of them will talk to each other to tell
Yeah.
them that they want each other because they're teenagers and they're best friends. And so it's a whole thing, and it's so good, and Ethan is the best. And I also started The Crimson Throne, which we will talk about very shortly. Whew, that was my week.
Woo. Do you have a fictional boyfriend for this week?
I do, and it is Ethan from I Wish You Would by Ava DeLaurier. This boy, okay, first of all, teenage boys like Ethan do not exist. You cannot convince me that teenage boys like Ethan have existed or will ever exist, because this boy, I love this. I love him so much. He's just like everything that teenage me could have possibly wanted in a boy, in like a boyfriend. Like, he is so sweet. He is so like, he anticipates Natalia's needs. He like knows exactly what's going on in like her brain, other than the fact that she's in love with him, which
Yeah.
but like he looks at her, and he's like, you're hungry. And she's like, what do you, he's like, you haven't eaten anything, you're about to pass out. Like, he can just tell by looking at her what she needs. And he's so sweet. And like, there was a moment where he was like, so there's like one of the popular girls is like trying to get with him because he made the game-winning shot in a basketball game, and it was like the biggest game of the year, and all of a sudden he became popular, and like, and his dad is like a famous TV star, and so like he's super popular now, and so one of the popular girls is like trying to get with him. One, because he's all of a sudden super popular, and two, because she wants to go into Hollywood and wants to like get in touch with his dad, so it's like a whole thing. And like he, even though he thinks that Natalia is dating like their other best friend, he's like, I cannot in good conscience continue to lead you on because I know that nothing is going to happen between you and me because I'm obsessed with her. And like, what teenage boy does that? Like, what? It's like he's so sweet and just like, he is a man written by a woman and in the
Love
best
it.
possible way. And I love him so much. So it's Ethan. How about you?
I feel like mine has to be Flynn Rider. I've been on a Disney boat. I've been
That's
in
fair.
Rapunzel World. You were my new dream. Excuse me, are you kidding? Like,
Yeah.
Flynn Rider.
That's so valid.
I
I was
mean,
actually like, until you said that, I think I would have been disappointed if you hadn't said Flynn Rider.
right,
Like, I
yeah.
feel like I was low key, like, unconsciously, subconsciously expecting
You're like,
that.
I know who it's gonna
Yeah.
be.
And
Yeah.
so, yeah. Love it. Good choice.
Thank you.
Sound means we have an intruder
We
alert.
have
We
intruders.
have intruders. We have intruders this time. We are so excited. We are talking to Sarah Roche and Beth Bevis about the Crimson Throne. We are so excited to have you guys here. Thank you so much.
We're so excited to
Thank
be here.
you. Okay,
Yes.
so the first thing we always ask, and I don't know if you guys have a designated person who does this, but can you give us the elevator pitch for the book?
Okay, we haven't actually talked that much about this book. We've got like Night of the Witch down. This book we have not done anything for yet together. So it's gonna be a learning curve.
This is the
Well,
start of
it
it.
is, it literally is. This is the first time I think we have like publicly talked about the book together.
Yeah.
I think we've done events separately, like over the summer, we did like some early
Yeah.
promo stuff. But yeah, this is like the very first time that we're together talking about this book. So
We're
we're
honored.
honored. So honored.
Yeah.
So The Crimson Throne is about a girl named Aleth, who is a lady in waiting of in the Mary Queen of Scots court. She has a secret, and that is that she is half fey, and she is protecting the border to the fey lands and keeping dangerous red caps out of Scotland. And
And I write the character of Samson, who is an Elizabethan slum orphan, and his secret is he is just doing his best. He is just like a normal dude. He thinks he's a normal dude. He's cursed, and he's trying to undo this curse that makes him black out and go on like these murderous rampages. And it throws him in the path of Aleth, who is in the mix of all this fae stuff. And like I said, Samson's just trying to do his best, and like all this fae nonsense is just getting in the way. And then, of course, he gives the Alice path and falls really hard for her, and she's not having any of it because she's got stuff to do. And
She is
I
on
love
business. She
her.
has no time for this cinnamon
She has
roll.
no time for this little English boy who just follows her around like a lost puppy.
I mean, he
I
is English,
love it
so.
so
I love it.
much.
So they're advertising this book as like Outlander meets Holly Black, which is like,
High
I mean,
praise.
can you get any better praise than that? Did you go into writing it with those vibes in mind, or did it happen organically and someone at the publishing house was like, you know, this sounds like.
I think that I remember Holly Black being in one of our like very first pitches because we were wanted to do Fae, and I think Beth brought up like, oh, Holly Black is like the Fae or like original YA Fae person. So I think she was always like our one of our references. Yeah,
I think we
because she
also
not only
played
does
around
fae, with,
but she does like dark fae. Like they, these are fae. They're not like beautiful little like nice creatures. They're dark, and many of them are twisted and evil, which is just delicious to write.
Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely not the like the sweet and sexy fae. Like there's some messed up like Scottish mythology lore fae. Like it's the fun side of things.
Yes. What kind of research did you have to do, if any, for, because there is a lot of like, I feel like a lot of Scottish influence in there, and also like a lot of just
Well, it's
the
the
setting is, yeah.
1560s.
Yeah. So like talk about the research project or research process there.
I feel like I've been training
Us
for this
all then.
research my whole
I know.
life.
I've been letting you go. I'm gonna like actually tune out. You don't need me anymore.
I am the worst partner because we'll be writing and like any little detail, I'll be like, well, actually, this is what happened. So like it's a miracle Sarah hasn't like killed me yet. But no, I love this time.
Accurate though.
Do what?
It makes it so accurate though.
Here, I mean, hopefully. But no, I have loved this time period like my whole life. Like every other kid was like reading, normal books, and I was like, what about dark fairy tales and Scottish history? So I was just like a nerd from the start. I was super into the Tudors back in the day, and then obviously Mary Queen of Scots is linked to the Tudors, so like I had to research all that too. So for me, there was a lot of research, but it was all fun research because I'm a nerd who likes homework.
I
So
love it.
it was
I
great.
love
And I feel
that.
like
That's the dream.
every, it really is. Because I feel like every type A kid either was like super into Tudor England or Egyptian like mythology and all that stuff. So I feel like you had like this like hyper fixation as a type A kid. Like I was like the Tudors as well. Like that was like my bag. I was also like Revolutionary America, which we have that stuff. But like I'm like the Tudors was like, I feel like we're all watching that show way before we should have been watching that show. Like I remember being like traumatized by many scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Now
it
that, yeah.
was.
Now
Now that you say that,
what
I'm having flashbacks.
all I recall of that show
There's
is Mallie Dormer, so I'm happy in my blissful thought.
fair. That's fair.
I read all of the oh my gosh, what's her name? She did like all of the books about all of the Tudors. Philippa Gregory. I read all of those when I
Oh,
was
yeah.
pretty young too, and I should not have been
Yeah.
reading those
The other
because they
Boleyn
got a
girl
little
was, I
slutty.
started with that one, and oh my God, when it got to the scene with the brother, I was like, not ready.
Yes.
Yes.
So you've kind of answered it in that you both had like a long, loving history of loving this time period. But where did the story itself come from? Like, how was the Crimson Throne born?
We were actually doing an event for Night of the Witch or Fate of Magic, one of those, and we had like a long morning of downtime in between our events, and we were trying to come up with what we were going to pitch next. And I went in hard for like Elizabethan era. I was like, hear me out,
She was ready. She was
graphs and charts. We were in the hotel lobby, and I'm like busting out notepads with it.
yeah.
I don't think we actually like really clicked on it until Sarah had the idea of who the big bad villain was. And then as soon as she
Yeah.
did that, I was like, oh, and then it like all fell into place.
That's like a theme with all of our books. So thinking of like also like the one that we're pitching next, like it didn't click until they were like, oh, that's the villain. Like that's like we're very like villain driven by our books.
You need the bad
To
guy.
be
Need
fair,
the
who
bad guy.
isn't villain driven? I mean,
Yeah.
This is fair.
we're kind of fans of villains here.
True. We love a good villain.
Can you guys kind of talk about your writing process? Because I imagine writing individually versus writing with a partner is very different. So I would love to kind of get how that works out. Like, are you guys sitting down at the same time and talking things through over Zoom? Are you going into a Google Doc at separate times? Like, talk about all of it.
Yeah, lots of Google Docs. It helps because we can both be in it at the same time. No, we're not actually not usually in it at the same time. Because we do the like she'll take a point of view character and I'll do a point of view character, so we'll do every other chapter. Yeah, a lot of like FaceTime calls and brainstorming sessions. It is so much nicer to co-write a book than it is to write by yourself. You have a whole other brain that knows the story as well as you do, and you can immediately be like, hey, I'm stuck on this scene. And that person will instantly be like, yes, I know exactly where you are. So like having Beth that I can like just text her and be like, this is just, like I don't have to say the scene. I just be like, I'm on, like, this is what's going on. So you're like, yes, I know exactly where you are. And yes, it's terrible. And why is it terrible? And then we start talking about like fixing it and whatever it is. So yeah, it's so much nicer. So when I write like my own books now, it's lonely.
I know. I've been
Oh,
like kind of whining. I'm like, because I'm in the middle of drafting something that I've been drafting for
yeah.
ages. And I'm like, Sarah, what do I do next? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like,
Like, that's not my book. I
I
don't
know.
know.
I don't like it. So how do y'all keep everything organized? And like, how do you get the plot? Do you like outline first and go over it and then write? Or like, what's it like to
Yeah, so I
have
didn't
it that
know
way?
this until like a year ago. I thought both Beth and I were super planning, like spreadsheets and lists. I thought we were both like that, we synced up like that. Apparently, that was just me this whole time. Beth's just been like riding along, like letting me do my crazy obsessive list
That's
making. She
Karen.
was never into it. But yeah,
I
so
do
we do this
outline.
because of me.
I'm just not as strict with an outline. So when we started, we made a chapter by chapter outline for Night of the
Yeah.
Witch. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, well, this is a good start, but this is definitely going to break down and then we'll just wing it. And then it didn't happen
The
that way.
anxiety that I got from you just saying we'll wing it, no. I did not wing anything in my existence. No, I feel like also when you're co-writing too, having like a set roadmap helps because it gives you both something to fixate on. Yeah, so it's a lot of like chapter by chapter outline and planning. It helps with the research side of things too, because I think we had like a whole separate doc of just like research tidbits. Which helps to kind of like pull things from. So I like me some lists.
I mean, I can understand. I am more of the chaos goblin when it comes to writing. So, like, I understand that side. But I guess you do have to have a roadmap. Otherwise, you could be writing two completely different stories for your characters and not have anything that melds up. So, that makes perfect sense, actually.
How did you guys like link up? How did you meet, and how did you decide like let's write a book together?
So during COVID, I started a Slack group of moms who are writers because we had like, we have our own career and like our own things that we're doing. And suddenly, mostly because we're the stay-at-home parent, we became the default Zoom classroom teacher for all of our kids. And it was just like a super stressful time. So I made this Slack so we could bitch about it all. And during that time, I didn't know Sarah yet, but I knew she had a kid. And like, I was kind of fangirling on her. So I was like, hey, Sarah, do you want to join me Slack? And then in the course of the Slack, we found some articles, and one of them, I guess because it was COVID and plague and Middle Ages and
Yeah.
everything, one of them was on the Trier witch trials. And we both kind of separately found them and were really interested in it. We're like, wow, we've never heard of this because we'd heard of Salem, of course, but America totally drops the ball on teaching us about witch trials anywhere other than Salem.
Right.
So we just started talking about it. And then everybody else in the Slack group was like, you guys get a room. And I was like, maybe we should make a story.
I love that.
Love
I'm
that.
obsessed with that.
Yeah.
That is
I
so
love
fun.
how so far everything has like a historical base. Is that something y'all plan to continue?
I think for the foreseeable future, like all of our ideas, we've been just on this fun little track of historical romanticism. And it's fun because we've been putting all of our books or exist in the same world so far, like the same magic world. So I think we're happy there so far. Just keep riding this.
We definitely have two more coming after Crimson Throne in the sequel.
Are you able to talk about any of them yet, or is it still too early?
We haven't even told our editor about them. So, so
So it's
we tell
super
our
early
editor one thing,
days.
but we're going to tell her something else. So.
Yeah, we're sorry, Ian.
I love that. That's so fun. So talk about kind of the development of these characters because they are very different. Aleph and Samson. And did you like you said that Sarah, you said that Samson was your POV character. So did you each take one character and kind of develop them on your own, or did you take steps to like work them together?
Yeah, I forget why we, because in Night of the Witch, I had Fritzy and Beth had Otto. I think for this one, we're just like, I want the boy this time. Being a girl. I don't think there was much discussion beyond that. And that's another thing about having a co-author is we just kind of like let each other run with the character. Like we don't have to like micromanage each other too much. We just kind of, okay, you have Aleph and I have Samson and we'll meet back up here and see what we got.
Yeah, it was
But like,
actually it makes it a lot more fun because like I don't it's almost like when Alice meets Samson, I'm also meeting Samson for the first time.
Yeah.
I have no
Oh,
proper,
that's
like,
true.
preconceptions of who he is or how he's going to react. I just say things and then Sarah makes it work.
That's
Yeah, and it's fun
so
because, like, as
fun.
we're editing each other's chapters, I'll be like, please make this sound like Alice. I know this is not what I was going to do. Like, rewrite this so it sounds like she's saying this. So it's nice too because we get that feedback immediately.
That is so fun.
I never really thought about that too. It probably makes it so much easier on your editor because you guys are also editing each other's work
Yeah.
to make sure that it lines up with, this is the personality that I've written, and now you're saying something in her voice or his voice. Whoa.
That's fun. That's so
That's
fun.
so
That's why we like working together.
trippy. That is so trippy, but so cool. Man. Oh
It
my
was also really
gosh.
fun with because Samson's English and Alice Scottish, so like in our heads their voices are different because and also like the cadence of things that they say and the word choices, like, so I constantly be like, I'm writing this in like American English, I know, like, she's going to use different Scottish words, so you do it better, like, you take care
Yeah,
of
you do it
making it
better than
Scottish
me.
because this is not what it should be.
And that goes back into the research because
Yeah.
I was sitting there like trying to wrap my head around how do you not accidentally slip in like a turn of phrase that came up in the 1960s? You just have to be super. Do you,
Dialed
so I
in.
guess you guys had like a show Bible or something that you reverted
Not
to.
much. We did have copy editors. The copy editors are
Yeah.
really—they're wonderful people who do their job really well. But I am such a nerd that I will actually in the comments to the copy editors, and I'm like, "Well, actually, this word was in use in this etymological term." I'm such a jerk to work with.
I love that though. I love somebody who like I've done the research. I know what I'm talking about. You're not gonna tell me because I already
But
know.
they do get things right. They do, and they're almost always right. I'll just have like my one actually per book.
You're like, I can feel it in my chest. I need it to I gotta bring it out.
I'm highly competitive.
I love that.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we don't want to keep you guys. We do want to keep you guys forever, but we promised we wouldn't. But we do have a set of questions that we always ask our guests. Fair warning, this is going to be the moment where every bit of media you've ever consumed leaves your brain.
Claire.
What is a book? Have I ever seen a movie? I don't know. We have a segment on the podcast that we like to call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. That's just the name of the segment. But we pick a fictional character that we've really vibed with that week. So we've had fictional
Oh,
boyfriends,
God.
but we've also had Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son. Do you guys have any fictional characters where you're like, that is my reason to breathe? That is the coolest character I've ever heard of. I think everybody should know this fictional character. And it could be books, movies, TV, video games. Have you ever read a book? Have you ever seen a
No,
movie?
it's
Can I
like
ask
no.
you, what is
Recently,
a TV
never
show?
left this office.
Well,
Oh
I am obsessed
my
with K-pop Demon Hunters, so I'm gonna say Rumi because
There you
I
go.
adore her, and she reminds me of Aleph in a lot of ways. But this idea of she has to be
Yeah.
perfect, but she's broken, and she's not. But Rumi, yep,
I
that's a
love
good
that. That's a good
one. That is a
one.
good
That is a
one.
good one.
I love that.
Yeah.
And she has
Oh
daddy
gosh.
issues like Aleph does.
Yeah, right?
I'm sorry.
I love
Did
some parent
you were
issues.
you writing were you writing alongside the writers of K-pop Demon Hunters? Like
I
what? I love it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you want to add
So,
anything, Sarah?
oh gosh. I can do better than K-pop Demon Hunters, but like that's all anybody talks about or cares about right now, which
That's
I
so
love.
funny.
I
I
love
had to
that
speak up really
people.
fast. I was like, I gotta get this one.
You're like,
You're like, me, I
throw us all the answer.
we always laugh because like I know mine and Karen's anytime anybody asks, and Karen is like, have
I'm
I
like,
ever read a book?
what's a big?
What is going on? And I'm like, I
I
got
feel
them
like
ready.
she's
Right.
good.
Okay.
I always feel about like I have to do a book because I feel like I'm an author and I have to have like I but no, I everything that came in our head was like movies and stuff. We just watched Thunderbolts for the first time,
Yes,
which I know it's fairly old.
yes.
But Yelena could step on me. Like,
Yes.
please, I would thank
Good
her.
God.
Yeah. Oh
Like,
my God.
I'm obsessed with her. I love her so
Obsessed. And
much.
I
So
watch
much.
so many
100%.
movies of just her. She didn't have to do
Yes.
anything. She just sit there.
Right.
No, yeah.
Like, I would watch her just a day in the life. Like,
Yeah.
she's amazing.
I don't
Yes.
understand why she has to be so beautiful. It's so
And the
unfair.
Russian accent, like, stop.
Right? Like,
It's
how
unfair.
dare you? How
It's
dare?
too much.
It's so
Yeah. Yeah.
unfair. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a very good one.
We were together for Y'all West right after Thunderbolts came out, and I almost made Karen jump off a balcony
She
because
really did.
I'm in Georgia and I flew to LA and we went to the Grove because I'd never been and I just wanted to say I'd been. And we're eating at the Cheesecake Factory outside and I was like, oh my God, it's Sebastian Stan.
I was
But he
like,
was on a poster, like on a movie, like a scrolling thing, but
I
she
was like,
thought that Sebastian
we
Stan
were
was there.
in LA. Like,
Okay, that's fair.
it
Valid.
was reasonable.
Yeah.
Come on. You
I would
can't
have let that
say
at a
these
Cheesecake Factory
things.
too.
We actually,
Clarify.
okay, first of all, we were in LA, so it was a reasonable thought that I had.
Yeah.
Second of all, we had literally just had a celebrity encounter right before that.
That's true.
When
That
we
is true.
were walking in to get seated, Thomas Lennon was at the hostess stand waiting to get seated as well, and we're just like,
I wouldn't know him by his name, but it's the dude with the shorts from Reno
Reno
911.
911.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
I
would
was like,
never
you know
nod
his
to his name.
you
I
would
would
know
never
his
have known his
face.
name.
But
Yeah.
yeah, but we was like, wait, what? And so literally right after that, she's like, oh, it's Sebastian Stan. I was like,
As if I would
what?
be that calm.
Yeah, totally, like,
I would be going
victoria
over the
style.
balcony
I
too.
was like, what is happening? You were far too calm to be saying things like this. It was a whole thing. And so the entire weekend, her and my daughter kept joking because there were Thunderbolts posters everywhere we would go because it was right after the movie came out. And I was like, you know what? I hate you both. You can all both leave. How dare you?
Oh my
Oh
goodness,
my word.
that was a good time.
Oh my gosh. All
right. Back on track. So one of the other questions that we always ask is, we know we love your books, and we'll be recommending those. However, we would love to know what you are reading and recommending, or if you have like an all-time favorite.
Immediately, nothing.
I got asked my favorite book the other day, and I was like, "This is Sophie's Choice," and I don't like it. I don't like
Yeah.
that. I don't like that at all.
It's either too many or nothing at
Yes,
all.
exactly.
I always just default to like, I'm reading this, so this can
I'm
be my
literally doing
favorite
that. I'm
for
reaching over
right
my desk, and I'm like, "Oh, here's the first book on my
now.
desk."
Did you read Harry Potter? Oh
Yeah,
my God, yeah,
so
that one
I just got This Is How We Roll, which is a D&D anthology where
was
all the
so cute.
stories
Oh, cool.
are about the different D&D players and their like RPG that they're doing. And it's all the stories are queer and diverse, and I'm excited
I
for it.
need
So
that because
cute.
I
That sounds
want
amazing.
so badly to learn how to play D&D.
Same.
It's
But
really
like I'm
fun.
36 and I feel like they're like you're way too far behind, like you're never going to catch up. But I want to learn so bad.
I regret to inform you there's more math involved than you would think.
Oh
But
no.
you can
Uh-oh.
also like sexify anything, so it makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
the dice is fun because it makes the fun noise and it's very ASMR.
That is a
Can
fair
I
trade-off.
use an Excel spreadsheet for the math part? Because I'm great with Excel, but not with not there's
math.
nothing up here with numbers. It's not.
You
Yeah.
absolutely can. Or if you have a
Okay.
DM who actually knows how to add, you can just throw your dice on the table and be like, what happens next? And they can
Okay,
figure it out
that's
for
what
you.
I'll do.
Got it. Oh,
All
man.
right, Sarah, what about you?
Oh, me. I think it just came out last week or like 2 weeks ago. I Killed the King by Rebecca Mix and Andrea Hanna was so fun. The sequel comes out next year because it left on a very mean like cliffhanger. It resolved, but like there was still like obviously stuff is gonna happen. It was just like a fun, different kind of fantasy books. It's like Knives Out, but in a castle with like magic and
Hey,
stuff.
I love
Yeah.
that. That sounds
Cool stuff.
great.
Yeah.
Okay, last question, and then we Karen might have some bad news to give you guys. What comes next? What can you talk about with what comes next?
Well, the sequel to Crimson Throne, which I don't think has a title yet, does it?
I don't
I don't
think
think
if it
it
does, I have
does. It does. I don't know
forgotten.
what it is. It'll
Which is
just
entirely
show
possible.
up. It'll just be like
Love you guys.
This is the best.
I mean, the books were written at least. Except for whatever the title is.
Amazing. I love it. And then you are
But we
both
also
authors
have,
by yourselves. Yeah. Oh no, go ahead.
I was going to say, Sarah, tell us about your next release.
Oh my gosh. I'm so tired, you guys. It's all good stuff. I shouldn't complain. But yeah, so next, so a sequel to Crimson Throne will come out next October. But before then, next May, I have the sequel to my most recent adult romance. So the Entanglement of Art Rival Wizards came out in August, and the sequel, The Fake Divination Offense, comes out in May. It's like fantasy football, but like fantasy world football.
Let me tell
And it's,
you,
yeah, I'm making that joke a lot.
I just read The Entanglement of Rival Wizards. It's
Oh
actually
my gosh.
one of my book club's picks for this
Oh,
upcoming
thank
month.
you.
And it was so good. And I was
Thank
like, I didn't realize that there was gonna be like a sequel, and then I saw it on
you.
Libby and I was like, yes.
Yay.
More, my precious. So
Yeah,
that's
the
exciting.
sequel's fun. I never saw myself writing a sports romance, and then I got to bastardize football and make it my own version of football,
I
and that was
love
exciting.
that.
That's the best. That's the best. What about you, Beth? Do you have anything individually?
Yes, so after the sequel to Crimson Throne is out next fall, and then that spring or early or late winter, I'm going to have my first adult romanticy. It is all I can say is there's Vikings and there's dragons, and
Everything I need. That's all I need.
that's perfect.
I'm really
Say
excited
less.
about it.
Say less. We're sold.
So that's all I can say, but it's going to be out there. I'm working on a sequel to that one now because there's going to be two, and it might kill me, but I will survive.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited for all of the
Yay.
above.
Yes. And so that leads us into, unfortunately, our bad news, which is now that y'all have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases. So sorry.
Darn. It
Not
was in the
really
fine
sorry.
print, and we
No,
made
it's
sure it was
just,
white, so you had to like highlight.
But you like
definitely signed
agreed
that
to it.
contract.
Yeah, it
I
definitely happened. S totally enforceable.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. My cheeks hurt. My stomach hurts from
know.
laughing so much. You guys are the best. So when this episode comes out, The Crimson Throne will be out. So go to your favorite bookstore and pick up a
Go
copy.
get it. It's so good.
Rumor has it the first printing has special edges that are also pretty.
Yes.
Oh,
Gorgeous,
Oh
gorgeous. So yeah, go do
my
that because it's fantastic and we love it.
Thank
Thank you
you.
guys so
Thanks
much
for
for
having
being
us.
here. This has been such a
Yeah.
blast, and we're so looking forward to everything that comes next.
All of it. All of it.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank you so much
much.
for having us.
Thank you for
Yay.
having us. This was a blast.
We'll talk to you
We will
soon.
talk to y'all soon.
Bye.
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 Oh my gosh, I love them. I love how one of them is type like A and lists and spreadsheets, and the other is hasn't
Chaos.
I like I haven't updated my story graph in months. I realized today. I was
Oh
like,
my gosh.
oops, I have not logged anything.
Meanwhile, I have meticulously logged everything all year, including like
Your Instagram bio, right? Like, do you update that with what you're
my
reading?
Instagram bio, and like I even like mark because you can mark your progress on StoryGraph, so I'll mark up to what page I finished that
That
day.
made me start sweating. Stop. I'm scared.
It's because StoryGraph introduced like reading streaks, and I really want to keep the fire fiery. And so I'm like, I need to update it so
My
that
tummy is hurting. My tummy's hurting bad.
Oh my God, that was so much fun though. Like, I'm obsessed with
Yeah.
both of them. That was a blast. Okay, now it's time for announcements. And Manny has no idea what's happening right now
No.
because she has no idea what is happening next week. But as we talked about at the top of the show, Mandy's book comes out on October 13th, which means we're obviously doing something super fun for the release. I have something planned. She has no idea what's going to happen,
Nope.
but it is very the living and the dead oriented. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's gonna be
My
so
friend
fun.
Darren messaged me. It's been a couple of weeks now, and he was like, are you gonna interview yourself on your podcast? It's like, no. I said, we are doing something. I don't know what it is. I was like, but I'm not. If it was anything, it would be you asking me questions. And I was like, no, we're doing something. He's like, I love that.
We are definitely doing something. I have planned this for about a month. I'm really excited about it. I will say that Sam from Rumor MRT did like a little written kind of interview
Oh, that
with
was
you,
so
which was really
fun.
cute. And somebody in the comments was like, because I listened to the Incoherent Fangirl, I could hear all of her answers. And I was like, just you wait. Something is happening. And I'm so excited. So next week, we will be talking about The Living and the Dead a lot.
Have to read a book this week.
You wrote the thing. You read
I read it a lot of times.
so many times.
So,
So you will be well prepared for this.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. It's gonna be so much fun. Literally, three people in the world know. One of them is me. So I'm excited. So that's next week. So stay tuned. It's gonna be a blast.
I can't wait.
And now it's time for a spiel.
It's spiel time.
Yay! If you enjoyed this episode, and why wouldn't you? It was a blast. Like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all of the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream our episodes as well as read our blog. I'm trying to get back into it, I promise. I have a plan. We may or may not have a guest post blogger person reviewer. I
I
don't
love
know.
it.
So we're trying to get content on there, okay?
Remember when we first started this podcast and we were like, we're gonna blog?
Yeah.
Little
Okay.
did we know.
Listen, I have been re-listening to episodes from the beginning because I'm working on a project for the podcast website, and it involves me having to re-listen to every episode we've ever done. And it is wild how different we are now than when we started. Remember how many segments we used to have?
We used to
Remember?
record. I remember the time that we fully did an episode that
And it
didn't
didn't
record and
record.
we had to do it again. And that's when we would spend like hours and hours.
That was back when like it would take me like days to edit an episode because they were just so long because we talked so much. And now I can literally do it in a night because we've pared it down so much, and I think it works so well, but it's so crazy to see where we started. And one of my favorite things is when we first started, we were readers, but we weren't really in like the publishing space, the publishing world. And so every time we got an ARC, we were like so
So
giddy. It
excited. And
was
now they
like,
come in and you're like,
I'm
my
like, oh my God, there's
shelf.
so many.
My shelf.
Like there it's so funny. And like we would talk about like, I don't know, like NetGalley and like, oh, this and this XYZ. And we were just like so green and we were so like just naive of the industry as a whole. And now it's like
I hardly ever buy books anymore because the books I want to read
I
get
could
sent
give
to it.
talks.
I bought this guy.
I mean, of course you did.
But
Of course you did.
that's the last book I bought in a while. Or like the first book I bought in a while.
Yeah, we're so different now than when we first started, and it's so cool to like kind of see how much we've changed since then because
I need to go back and re-listen to some old
it's
episodes.
really, really different. Like the first season is so different from what we are now, which is why I always tell people when like I first meet and they're like, oh, I'm gonna listen to the podcast. I'm like, start with season 2. If you enjoy that, go back. Then you can go
Then
back.
go back.
Because it's like with anything, like with the pilot of a TV show, with the first season of a TV show, they're figuring out their groove, right? That's
Yeah.
what we were doing. We were figuring out what we were doing. And now we got it down.
Look at
And
us. Who'd have thought?
it's so fun. All of that to say, visit our website. You can also subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and exclusive bonus content. Shop our merch store because we believe in self-care. And also, it's like gift-giving season is coming up, so it's a good time to shop.
Give a gift to yourself or somebody you love.
Exactly. Head to the incoherentfangirl.com/shop. Lots of cute stuff there because Mandy gets bored with an iPad and designs cute stuff for us. We reap the benefits. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of
We'll
that
take it.
in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your
Give
words.
us those
We
words.
love words. I was just thinking how bad the spiel was in those early episodes because I had no idea what I was saying. It's really bad, Mandy.
Gonna go back and listen to them now.
And you're just like, wow, we really improved. It's great. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head on over and visit our internet besties because, again, we promote self-care and we think you should
Yes.
do some holiday shopping because now is the time. Get it all done before you're scrambling on December 24th, okay?
Right.
I know, I know. I'm talking to
Don't do
myself.
it.
I'm talking to
Don't do
myself.
it.
All right, first stop, you're gonna go to Here Comes the Nerd at herecomesthenerd.com. Get your pins and artsy goodies. Use code FANGIRL and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes that you can choose from. We love you no matter which one you choose, but you cannot stack them. Use code Mandy10 or Karen10 for 10% off, but you have to spell Karen right, or we're going to make you walk the plank at Lookout Key,
Oh,
or you'll die of heat stroke in 5 seconds.
you
Spell it
don't
right. Spell it right. I'm complaining like I wasn't on a
want,
Disney island.
but
I understand, okay, but for
but
the
still,
love of God, some shade.
literally. All right, then you're gonna head over and visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. You're gonna add 10 of everything to your cart because sharing is caring. Use code FANGIRL10 and then you'll get 10% off the entire cart, which means you've got one of everything for free. You have
You're
done
welcome.
your holiday shopping and gotten yourself a little treat. So,
You're welcome.
yeah, congratulations, you're so smart.
And last but not least, support my family. You can get a copy of The Living and the Dead probably by the time you're hearing this. They're not even going to be on pre-order anymore. They're just going to be on order. We have a paperback and a hardcover. If you go to aepurvis.com and use code Aaron Warner, you'll get 10% off because it wouldn't be me if I didn't make something about Aaron Warner.
Facts.
I am who I am. And then you can go support the show husband. So he is at Borna Josh on all the things. His paranormal investigation group, Searchers, is at Searchers Believe on all the things. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off of merch designed by yours truly. Because I get bored with an iPad and he also reaps the benefits. You can follow the Searchers podcast. It's at Searchers Podcast on all the things. On a little bit of a hiatus while we get ready to go record with Jack Osborne soon, which is very exciting. And then the biggest one is go follow at Stream Beacon TV on everything. It's our new streaming platform with paranormal horror and true crime content. Paranormal Mysteries is in full swing. That's getting the trio from the Holzer Files back together, for a new concept, new spooky paranormal investigation show. And if you go to streambeacontv.com and subscribe and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your subscription. And you want to be subscribed because there's so many cool things coming.
Yes.
Yay.
And that
That was
was
the
the
incoherent
incoherent
fan
fangirl.
girl.
Thanks
Thank
for listening.
you.
I love
Love
you.
you. Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.